Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
We continue in Ecclesiastes chapter 7. We're still dealing with the four elements that Solomon tells us will add value to our lives. Do you remember what they are? Surprisingly, the first two are sorrow and rebuke. And then, not quite so surprisingly, the third and the fourth are patience and wisdom. And it is wisdom that we are now dealing with, having worked our way through the list and examined each of the other three already in some detail. But wisdom will add great value to your life. With it, your life is going to go very well, both now and forevermore, because we're talking about godly wisdom and being properly related to God because of that wisdom. Or a lack of wisdom is going to make your life very burdensome, no matter how many of the trappings of life you manage to acquire. You may acquire great wealth, but if you don't have wisdom, it's not going to bring satisfaction. You may acquire great knowledge, but unless you have wisdom, true godly wisdom, to go with that knowledge, it's not going to bring satisfaction in life. And on it goes. You may achieve great fame, but without wisdom, that's not going to bring fulfillment. You may enjoy a great many of the pleasures of life, but without godly wisdom, they're not really going to bring any satisfaction. So, with godly wisdom, life takes on rich dimensions. Without godly wisdom, life is always going to be an endless series of frustrations. I've observed that over and over and over again. People who know the Lord and develop godly wisdom, and how content, fulfilled, happy, satisfied they are. People who have achieved a great deal in this world, as far as other people measure it, may be very wealthy, very highly educated, very successful, and are continually discontent because they do not have godly wisdom. You better add this one to your life. In fact, you better make this the most important one. This ought to be the greatest goal of your life, to acquire wisdom. I pause to welcome you to this Thursday, October 29 edition of the Beacon Broadcast, and also to thank those whose financial gifts enable us to keep teaching on this station. Well, what about godly wisdom? Well, true wisdom, the kind that Solomon is talking about, knows how to relate to God. A wisdom that doesn't relate properly to God is not really wisdom at all. It may be what the world calls wisdom, but it's not. It's folly. But the wisdom that Solomon is talking about knows how to relate to God. And so he says in verse 13, "Consider the work of God, for who can make straight what he has made crooked? In the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider. Surely God has appointed the one as well as the other." Now, there's an awful lot of wisdom here. That's what we're talking about, is wisdom. Wisdom, first of all, recognizes God's sovereign workings. God is God. God has his purposes. There are many puzzling things in this world that you don't understand why they are the way they are and why God would allow them to be the way they are and why God would to make them the way that they are, why God doesn't change this or that that would be make it more pleasing to us, more suitable to us, more beneficial to us and to others as we see it. But God is God, and that's not our prerogative. That's not our domain. If you're not willing to accept that, you're going to have constant problems with yourself, with life, and of course, most of all, with God. But if you will accept that, it is amazing how many things will just smooth right on out. But wisdom not only knows how to relate to God and His sovereign workings, but it also knows how to accept God's gracious gifts. And that's verse 14. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. In the day of adversity, consider, surely God has appointed the one as well as the other. Now, we are plagued in the world today with a great many Bible teachers, preachers, at least that's what they call themselves, who fit into the category of what we call the health and wealth gospelers. They preach a health and wealth gospel. Now, that isn't what they call themselves, but that's what it boils down to, because, among other things, what they say is, if you have faith in God, and if you're pleasing God, if you're obeying God, have faith in God and obeying God, God's going to make you prosperous. God will make you healthy. God will make you wealthy. And if you're not healthy and you're not wealthy, it's because you're not trusting God, you're not obeying God, you're not doing right in relationship to God, and God is not pleased with you, because everybody that God is pleased with, He makes healthy and wealthy. Is that what the Bible teaches? No, it does not. And here's one of many texts that teach the opposite. Here it tells us that God sometimes gives prosperity, and sometimes He brings adversity. And it's the same God, and it has nothing to do with our faith or our performance. It has to do, again, with God's sovereignty. We're talking about wisdom relating to God according to His sovereign workings, and part of that is accepting God's gracious gifts and understanding that adversity is as much a gift from God or a gift of God as is prosperity. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. Solomon gives you encouragement to do that. I started to say he gives you permission to do that. He gives you encouragement to do that. It's not sinful, it's not carnal to be joyful, to rejoice when God chooses to prosper you. You do need to be careful. You do need to understand the dangers. Wealth has attendant dangers. Wealth has greater responsibilities. You need to learn how to handle it. You need to learn the principles of stewardship. You need to recognize it's not yours, it's God's. God is loaning it to you, really, not giving it to you. God is entrusting you with it to be used for His glory, for His purposes. So be sure that you manage it well with eternity's values in view. But yes, if God entrusts you with a more than an average amount of this world's resources, be joyful, be thankful. Thank Him for it. Because God will do that at times. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. Not everybody's going to have a period of prosperity, but many people do. Some people, by God's design, have a life that's virtually all prosperity. But as I say, I've noticed that most of the people that fit in that category don't really do very well spiritually, and we shouldn't be surprised. Wasn't it Jesus who said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God? There are so many pitfalls, so many dangers, so many snares, enticements and deceitful aspects of money, that it is a great danger. You better learn how to handle it properly if God gives it to you, but yes, you can receive it with joy. You don't have to feel guilty about it. I've known people like that because of their training, their upbringing, ideas that they picked up somewhere along the road of life. They have the notion that godly people are not wealthy people, that wealthy people are basically sinful people, that if people have wealth, they must have acquired it by deceit, by stealing, by taking advantage, by oppressing others, by some kind of illegal or sinful or immoral means. And so what are they going to think if God blesses them with wealth, if this is their concept? And what they often do is try to act like they don't have it. They're embarrassed by it. I don't see too many of them giving it all away. There have been a few down through history that have done exactly that. Borden of Yale, if you know his story, would be one in that category. But most people, when they get blessed in an unexpected way with prosperity, they don't give it all away. But some people don't know how to be truly joyful in a godly way. But you can be. In the day of prosperity, be joyful if God gives that to you. But the next line, in the day of adversity. And this almost, the way it's worded, almost seems to indicate that everybody's going to experience some of both. In the day of prosperity, whenever that comes for you, be joyful. In the day of adversity, whenever that comes for you, consider. Consider what? Surely God has appointed the one as well as the other. God appointed the prosperity. Accept it from Him, manage it for His glory, and enjoy it while you have it. Be joyful and enjoy it while you have it. He hath given us all things richly to enjoy, Paul said in the Timothy, the First Timothy. He has given us richly all things to enjoy. It's not sinful to enjoy those things. Don't be in a position where you're unable to do that. That would indicate some lack of spiritual understanding and spiritual maturity. But on the other hand, when the day of adversity comes, you've got some things to consider. You need to realize that God has appointed that as well. And I know some people that if adversity comes, their first response is, God must be punishing me for something. Well, I wouldn't say don't give that any consideration, because that certainly is a possibility, but that's not the only possibility. Sometimes God has other purposes. The Apostle Paul is the great example of that. What did he tell us in Philippians chapter 4? I have learned both how to abound, and I have learned how to be abased. I have learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content. If God gives prosperity, just like Solomon tells us here, I can be content with that. I can be thankful for that. If God takes the prosperity away and I am abased, I am struggling in what most people would call poverty, I can be content with that. I have learned in whatever state, whichever of these two states or anything in between, I have learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content. Have you learned that? That's wisdom. Wisdom recognizes God's sovereign workings. He is God, I am not. Wisdom accepts God's gracious gifts, whether they are prosperity or adversity. Wisdom understands they come from God. God has a purpose for them. It is a gracious purpose. And therefore, I accept them from His hand. That's wisdom. Wisdom will add great value to your life. Lack of wisdom is going to leave you in a very frustrated state of mind. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.